Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We, of course, are very, very closely following the story in Ukraine, but it's equally as perplexing as to what is going on here in South Africa. Kathleen Powell is an associate professor in public law at the University of Cape Town. She joins us this morning. We wanted to find out a little bit more about the bizarre, and I would say ignorant, comment of the ANC with regard to Russia Today and MultiChoice. Good morning. How are you? So bright and early this Monday morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Fine. How are you?
I am well. I feel like you drew the short straw getting an interview at 10 to 7 on a Monday morning, but that's all right. We appreciate it, and so will our listeners nevertheless. So, Kathleen, can I just ask you, first of all, the fact that the ANC statement was wholly ignorant on the reasoning for MultiChoice not broadcasting Russia Today, isn't that a major concern?
Well, it is a major concern, whether it's ignorance or deliberate obfuscation.
Ah.
You know, we don't actually know what the people who drew up that statement know about how MultiChoice works, how foreign radio stations, foreign TV stations actually get to broadcast in South Africa. If they don't know, then they shouldn't be issuing public statements. That shows a level of arrogance and professionalism that makes us worry about the people running the country. If they do know, then they're engaging in a propaganda exercise, which is equally alarming.
Absolutely, because it is their job to know. As the ANC, they cannot surely or shouldn't be able to issue a statement that is based wholly on incorrect facts.
Well, yes, as I said, it's about professionalism. It's about actually doing your job properly. And it's no excuse to say, well, we're not actually the government, we're just a political party. They're a political party in control of the government. Well, and therefore, everything they do should be highly professional.
In fact, that's a very valuable and very interesting point, because we often are getting very mixed messages with regard to, oh, no, that's the ANC, that's not Durko, that's government, that's not... It's very, very confusing that we have all of these bodies that seem to represent different things. What is the ANC's responsibility in terms of a political party and the country's ruling party? How does that all work?
Well, this is a borderline that the ANC itself often forgets, but it is a party and not the government. The ANC can only speak for itself as a political party, but it should lose its credibility as a political party if it fails to take responsibility for what the government is doing, because it is the main influencer of government decisions. So we've seen, and the Constitutional Court has held this to be okay, that decisions made at national executive meetings of the ANC, decisions made at conferences of the ANC, are then put into practice in government. There's no ambiguity on that one. It's the ANC as the ruling party, as the majority party, that decides the policy direction of the country. One of the most infamous examples is a decision to disband the Scorpions. So the ANC as a political party is welcome to espouse certain positions, but it cannot divorce itself either from the consequence of those positions or the fact that it has had a hand in how the politics of the country is playing out. And in this case, coming up with an ignorant position on how DSTV works ends up simply it feeds into misinformation and possibly disinformation, so deliberate misinformation for the people of South Africa. And I think that is something for which every political party should take responsibility if it does it, but all the more so if you are that influential in government.
What should we demand from the ANC at this point? They've issued a statement that, as we've said, is based on incorrect information. Multi-choice for anybody who isn't following properly, and I should have probably contextualized this a little bit better at the beginning of the interview. Multi-choice would, in the past, have broadcast Russia Today. They are no longer able to do that because they are not receiving the feed from Europe. So it's not within their choice. They are not able to do it. The ANC have now put out a statement basically condemning multi-choice for their decision not to broadcast Russia Today, saying that it is censorship. It is not censorship. It is simply an inability to broadcast. Now, the discussion about censorship is, of course, another whole different discussion.
Mm.
And I might even agree with the ANC had their facts been correct, that I'm very uncomfortable with censorship, although I get all the nuances of broadcasting a government
pro-war
agenda. What is your thought on that? It's a very difficult one, isn't it?
It is a difficult one for freedom of expression, but we do in South African law have the exception of hate speech.
Right.
Now, I haven't done an in-depth analysis of the extent to which Russia Today is broadcasting hate speech, but hate speech includes incitement to do harm.
Mm.
I don't know Russia Today's statements well enough to analyze each one, but to the extent that they are supporting the war effort of Russia in Ukraine.
Right. By implication, that is doing is encouraging.
There's a starting point to start looking for hate speech. So even under South African constitutional law, it may be permissible to, there may be no protection for Russia Today in South Africa, or certainly for those statements. And of course, once you find hate speech from a broadcaster, you can't sit examining each statement as it comes out and then sort of quickly blocking out the speech. You actually have to take a position on the broadcaster. I do want to add, though, that for a political party that is criticizing the West's hypocrisy, and rightly so, in condemning the invasion of Ukraine, but not in condemning the invasion of other territorial entities such as Palestine, Syria, or Iraq, where there has been a very disproportionate reaction to Ukraine, if you compare it to military action by the West, I get that. But for a country that has been, for a political party that has been doing that, to condemn the censorship, so-called, of DSTV, while completely ignoring Russian censorship of political statements against the war in Russia, is another startlingly obvious omission. Much as its failure to work out how DSTV actually works and where it gets Russia Today from, its failure to examine the censorship in the context of the other censorship in the context of this invasion of Ukraine shows an almost deliberate ignorance. Let's call it that.
It really does, and it certainly does make it very, very clear where the ANC stands on this. Their defense that Russia and other human rights abusers like Cuba and Iran, who have the ANC have befriended, helped them during the anti-apartheid struggle, how much water does that hold, and how much water do you think it should hold when an atrocity is being committed?
Well, first of all, it doesn't change international law, which says that a state may not use force unless in self-defense against another state. And that self-defense requires an armed attack against the state claiming self-defense. So basically, Russia can claim self-defense if the Ukraine has carried out an armed attack against it, and it hasn't. So no matter who your friends were, they still can't.
It doesn't give them immunity. It doesn't give them immunity in perpetuity.
No, not at all. So it doesn't change international law. Of course, there's more ignorance in claiming that Russia supported South Africa, because the entity that supported South Africa was the Soviet Socialist Republics, which included Ukraine. So it was a different body completely. Controlled by Moscow, as Russia is now being controlled, but it wasn't the same entity. And Ukraine contributed to South Africa's struggles against apartheid as well. So you can't claim that. I think if you've actually put your finger on what is the main underlying defense by the ANC, which is, look, these guys are our friends. But by saying that, they're not talking about the state. They're actually talking about particular people within the state. And I'm afraid they're not talking about the people who supported them during apartheid. They're talking about the people who've been donors and helpers since then.
Absolutely. Kathleen Powell, Associate Professor of Public Law at University of Cape Town. Thank you for your very, very interesting insight. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.